Ravenhunter watched Three Falls as he looked away. The older hunters always looked away, even Three Falls, who had lost so many of his kin. The younger men, however, watched eagerly as the newest of the warriors of the people bent over the captive other, leaning down as the man struggled, the skin of his chest gleaming in the firelight. Crowcaller stroked a bone wand up and down a grooved caribou antler, bringing dream of power into the gathering. The warriors swayed back and forth, carried away by the power of the moment, feeling the strength of their souls. Ravenhunter smiled to himself, then leaned over the naked man, glaring into the captive's eyes.
Kill me! You hear me? Kill me!
You'll die, but not just yet.
Ravenhunter nodded his approval to an eager young warrior by the name of Crowfoot, who'd shown exceptional bravery on the war trail. The youth trotted forward.
He's yours.
Crowfoot smiled suddenly, gazing hungrily at the captive.
Take him.
Bending down, the boy sliced an obsidian blade along the other's chest, watching him writhe as blood streamed hotly. A tear crept past the other's eyes to trickle down his cheek as Crowfoot moved the sharp edge lower, tracing it around the man's genitals.
No other should breed children to fight against us.
Muscles knotting and sliding under sweat-shiny skin, the warrior thrashed as the glass edge cut his manhood from his body. Three Falls backed away in disgust, elbowing through the press, ducking away into the darkness. Ravenhunter followed patiently. The older warrior turned to face Ravenhunter, his teeth gritted in disgust.
I hate this!
Ravenhunter walked to stand before him, wishing the light was better so he could see Three Falls' eyes.
It gives our young men heart. Such rituals bind us more tightly than mammoths in you. It's a sharing of honor in there.
A sharing of horror, you mean?
To bind a people together when they've been weak and fragmented is never easy. Think back. Remember those first raids we fought? Remember how poorly we did? Look now. Outnumbered, we kill many more of them than they kill of us. Why? Because of the courage, the spirit. Just like I'm building in there. You think that young boy won't fight? After I give him the honor of cutting that other apart, he'll fight until his heart bursts.
Yes, we fight better. We're meaner. Like a dog that's been baited, tortured, and abused with a bear hide. Is that what we're to become, Ravenhunter? Bear dogs? Creatures made berserk at the sight of an other? A bear dog is less than a dog. Less than...
Does a bear dog have any choice? Do we? By becoming meaner, berserk, as you say, we keep our land. So I ask you, what's better? Living as a berserk bear dog? Or dying at the hands of the others?
I choose to live.
He glared nervously as he pushed past Ravenhunter, stalking away through the snow. Ravenhunter shivered, following him with his eyes, stroking his chin thoughtfully as the sharp wind chilled his skin. A deep-seated unease stirred in his chest. Eyes slitted against the knives of cold, he turned back to the camp. Young warriors sneered joyously before a row of captive others, eyes gleaming in hatred. The others, faces like masks, awaited their turn, sweat beating on tight faces. Their eyes reflected the horror.
So many have left, fleeing south to Runzen Light. But I have the youth bound to me. And with the youth, a man can take a people anywhere.
Ravenhunter pushed into the crowd, enjoying the pride and awe in the warriors' eyes as they looked at him. The other had become a bloody pile of meat. Ravenhunter smiled. Indeed, here were warriors. His warriors. The hope of survival. Bowed under loads of frozen meat, the people struggled up the last rise toward Heron's camp, the trail familiar now. One Who Cries looked back along the line.
Yeah, careful.
trail's solid ice. Gotta go down the side.
Singing Wolf nodded agreement, too tired to do anything else. Behind, Jumping Hare, Curlew Song, and others staggered under their burdens, while a long line of dogs shuffled in their trail, backs bent under packs of frozen meat. Step by step, they worked down into the valley, the snow melting as if by magic as they walked onto the ground-warmed rock.
Ah, wonderful thing, these geysers.
All the curs in the camp dashed out to confront the intruders.
Hey! Dog! Down! Down! Yeah! Giddy up! Yeah!
Jumping Hare swatted them away with his dart shafts, keeping them from jumping the burdened dogs. Singing Wolf swung the heavy pack from his shoulders and dropped wearily on a rock, head hanging as he fumbled with cold, stiff fingers to undo his webbed snowshoes.
Hello? Hey, people! We're here!
Beside him, one who cries dropped his own burden. People emerged from the shelters to come scrambling across the dark rock.
Singing Wolf?
Here, Sunshine!
Singing Wolf stood to hug his wife, delighted at the feel of her bulging belly against his. Wouldn't be long now and they'd have a family again. The thought warmed him deep inside. One who cries smiled at them for a moment before looking at the people picking up the packs.
We got a mammoth cow. Meat enough for everyone here. Some will have to move up there, though. Too much carrying. Not only that, but we saw a sign of muskox.
Green Water picked her way through the darkness to the side of One Who Cries, gratefully hugging her husband.
He's just come back.
Who?
Wolf Dreamer.
Singing Wolf looked over at the anxious tone in her voice.
Where? What's happened?
There. In Heron's shelter.
Singing Wolf could feel One Who Cries' eyes on him, waiting.
Jumping Hare, keep the dogs out of the meat and see that it gets distributed.
I will.
Singing Wolf started quickly for the shelter, One Who Cries on his heels as he walked the winding path along the pool. At the hanging hide entrance of the cave, he paused.
Wolf Dreamer, you there?
Come.
Singing Wolf blinked in the dim light of a fading fire, seeing Wolf Dreamer sitting up, hood thrown back. Then he stopped, One Who Cries pushing alongside, his flat face forward, peering. Singing Wolf barely recognized Wolf Dreamer. His face, once smooth and young, looked pinched. A curious, knowing light burned in his black eyes.
You're back.
Singing Wolf shifted uneasily, waiting for One Who Cries to speak. Wolf Dreamer smiled wistfully, sensing their disquiet.
I crossed the big ice.
Stunned, Singing Wolf dropped to his knees.
You?
Yes, but the people won't be able to follow in my tracks. It's too dangerous. Lost both the dogs. To cross is, well, a nightmare worse than Crow Caller's threats.
Singing Wolf slumped, weariness flowing back through his exhausted body.
Blessed star people.
That means things are bad.
Bad?
Wolf Dreamer reached for one of the old sticks from the willow wood pile and dropped it on the fire to a rising of sparks. One Who Cries nodded, glancing first at Singing Wolf.
Very bad. In the three turnings of the moon that you've been gone, four camps of people have come over the hills to winter here. Beyond, down where the big river flows out into the plains, the people find nothing but war. Our young men and the others, they raid back and forth, moving constantly, striking each other. The old, the children, they can't travel constantly. Not in the long dark. So they come here to find peace.
All but the young men and women?
Yes. How did you know? The youth find this new life exciting.
Wolf Dreamer's eyes glittered in the firelight as they welled with tears that did not fall.
But who tells them the winter stories? How is the lore of the people passed on if all they do is run and fight? Who hunts for the old, the young?
Only our camp.
And the others aren't leaving as Raven Hunter promised. The raids continue endlessly, back and forth. They're fighting through the Long Dark. Can you imagine that? What about the Soul Eaters?
And our supplies are dwindling fast.
What of the others' supplies? Are they suffering?
They trade to different camps to the north and west along the Saltwater. They have plenty of food and new hides. They move their sick and old to camps farther up where meat has been taken and frozen. Then they send their young men to follow the big river south, all carrying their weapons over their shoulders.
Wolfdreamer's jaw muscles bunched under his cheeks.
And my brother?
He claims he's keeping the others at bay. The people, at least the ones here who don't count in the end, wonder. They see only disaster.
Wolfdreamer nodded, his gaze going back to the fire. One Who Cries lowered his eyes.
We had hoped the Wolfdream that there was a way across the big ice.
Wolfdreamer looked up at them, eyes oddly lit.
Across the big ice? No. Not for the people. Too many would die, slip, fall, be lost in crevasses. There's no food up there, only snow and ice and gravel melting out. I crossed the big ice in a month, most of it without food.
One Who Cries looked nervously at Singing Wolf.
Then it looks like we'll have to take up Raven Hunter's way. Fight until...
No. My dream is right.
Right?
I crossed the ice. Had to kill Grandfather White Bear up there. But I lived on his flesh.
He extended a pouch. With trembling fingers, One Who Cries undid the binding, spilling out a wealth of claws. Singing Wolf swallowed and looked up.
Grandfather White Bear? So far south? He eats seals, hunts the ice. I don't understand.
No matter how he got there, he came, following my scent. I tried to run at first. Then I called him like I did the caribou. I dreamed him over the slabs of ice. The trail circled a slab thrust up by the ghosts below. There I waited, dreaming him past, his nose to the snow. As he came, I rose on my toes, dreaming my dart point to the place behind the shoulder, driving it with all my strength.
One Who Cries' eyes glowed with pride. Wolfdreamer patted One Who Cries' sleeve.
And the dart point you made went true. Grandfather White Bear whirled and twisted and snapped the shaft, but in doing so, sliced his heart in two.
You did this alone?
Alone. And Grandfather White Bear's blood, heart, and liver gave me strength. His flesh made me strong. His hide gave me warmth beyond my parka and long boots. I lived. Then I killed long-horned buffalo that ran free across the vast plains on the other side of the big ice. The game is tame. I walked up to animals. They simply looked at me, wary, walking off slowly, or coming close to smell. You see, they've never been hunted by men before.
Singing Wolf straightened slowly, his eyes filling with desperate hope.
Can this be true? No sign of men?
None.
Only the big ice lies between us and this wondrous place?
Yes.
But you crossed twice. Maybe just a few of us could build a trail, find a way for the elders and the children.
Impossible. The ice shifts, blocks slide and crack. Any trail changes as it's made. What was safe the first time will be death the second. Every step must be felt out. That I lived is a miracle. And no, I didn't cross twice. Only once.
You crossed twice, Wolfdreamer. Or are you a spirit?
As soon as he said it, he regretted the words. This place of Herons gave him fear nerves anyway. And if Wolfdreamer were an apparition, his soul was already mostly sucked away.
No, I'm no spirit, old friends. I only crossed the ice once. The way back is much more frightening.
The hair on the back of Singing Wolf's neck prickled. He looked sideways at One Who Cries, who looked back, mouth open. Wolfdreamer steepled his fingers.
The way is only open until the long light advances. When the warm breezes blow, it will close. We can only cross in the long dark.
Cross? But you said...
A poor choice of words. Better had I said come through.
Through?
Wolf Dreamer's eyes glowed with memory and dream.
Underneath, actually. The way is dark.
The way?
The way is alongside the big river. Through the hole under the ice.
Like Wolf showed you.
Yes. When the water builds up in the long light, it flows through a second channel. For 2 days, a man must walk in total blackness, feeling his way.
You walked into that? Under that? You're crazy.
Hush, cousin. What else, Wolf Dreamer?
That's not the worst. The ghosts are there, watching a man move in the darkness below.
Under the big ice? After all the stories Crowcaller told? And you can hear the ghosts?
Singing Wolf frowned at his cousin.
Would you rather have the ghosts or the others?
Give me the others.
Singing Wolf dismissed him with a wave of a hand, forehead lining in concentration.
We could make a fire to carry, render a lot of fat, maybe make lines that people could hold.
But if we get lost in there, our souls will be trapped forever in darkness.
Wolf Dreamer's eyes glazed, his mouth slackening, as though on the verge of a dream.
The ice is melting. Someday it will all melt off and people will cross on land in the light of Father Sun.
Can we wait?
No. It won't happen in this lifetime. We must go now, through the hole before it's too late.
Too late?
Yes. Before the salt water rushes down from the north to flood all the land and the hole closes up again.
Dancing Fox grimaced as she hobbled along the pool, thick streamers of white steam rising into the gray mist overhead. A dull pain still grated in her ankle. That she'd broken the thin bone along the outside of the calf was apparent, but it seemed to be healing all right, even if it left a lump. Too long, green water had made her lie on her back. She'd put off this meeting, put it off in the hopes he'd come to her. In the long days since he'd returned, she hadn't parted Greenwater's shelter flap, waiting in an agony of indecision. As if by magic, Greenwater appeared at her side.
Going to see him?
Dancing Fox swallowed and nodded, perhaps too curtly.
What should I say to him? Start out with, "My heart is glad to see you again," or how about, "Your cursed wolf dream ruined my life, what are you going to do about it?"
I don't think the last will help the situation any.
I know. I'm confused. I've been scared to death ever since he returned. One minute, I was afraid he'd show up and crawl into my robes. I'd close my eyes and hope, imagining how it would be. The next, I hated the very thought of seeing his face. Everyone's in awe of him. It's a scary thing. Do I even know him now?
Greenwater crossed her arms, staring thoughtfully at the gravel underfoot.
I don't know. But you've changed as much as he has. No one knows either of you anymore. Perhaps you've both taken the responsibilities of leaders.
Yeah, they'd never let a cursed woman be a leader.
A lot of people respect what you did out there. The way you handled Ravenhunter. They talk of the honor you showed by staying with Talon and how you traveled so far with a broken ankle. Some are even whispering that you have power. That you can hunt on your own, maybe even dream in animals the way Heron did?
Oh, that's because they didn't see me eating rancid bone marrow or shivering in my parkas, drenched with fear sweat that Grandfather Brown Bear would find me.
You were scared when you stayed with Talon?
Dancing Fox looked away, memories of the old woman's death too tender to deal with.
Terrified. She was my friend, my teacher. I'll always be frightened to tackle life without her.
But you will.
Of course.
She glanced apprehensively at Heron's shelter.
You've heard enough from me. Go and see Wolf Dreamer. He'll help you find out what you want next.
Greenwater nodded encouragingly and walked off about her business. Dancing Fox straightened and walked as best she could, stopping before the door flap.
Wolf Dreamer? Are you in there?
I've been expecting you.
The familiar voice touched her, while some subtle quality set her on guard. She ducked through the caribou hide hanging, looking around, seeing him on folded wolfskins, a white bear hide pillowed behind him. Their eyes met. All the carefully prepared words vanished like mist in the morning sun. Her heart beat powerfully, a tingle in her limbs.
I hear you tried to follow.
Dancing Fox smiled, oddly shy, looking away.
Wolf didn't take very good care of me. It turned out to be a difficult trip.
He nodded, gesturing to the hides beside him. Hesitantly, she complied, sitting cross-legged on the soft caribou skins.
You've changed. You're stronger.
Your brother saw to that. But then, you've changed too. More confident, possessed. Being a dreamer suits you.
It also costs a great deal.
Most things do.
They sat, not looking at each other. She wanted to throw her arms around him, declare her love, but found herself afraid.
Why is this so difficult? I came, Wolf Dreamer. I followed you. Why weren't you at the renewal? I waited there, keeping myself for you. All those things you told me about marriage and love, they kept me going all through this miserably long year.
He swallowed hard, pain glittering in his eyes.
Won't you speak to me?
He closed his eyes, his entire body trembling. She reached across, grabbing him by the parka and tugging gently at first, then harder, until he opened his eyes and met her gaze.
Tell me what's wrong.
I love you.
Joy and relief swelled inside her. She let him go, sliding closer to him, so close she smelled his masculine scent. She searched his handsome face. What she saw there made her pause.
And I love you. Is that wrong?
You're the only thing between me and the dream.
Between?
Back in Mammoth Camp, I didn't know what the wolf dream meant. How it would change me. Or the people. Now I've seen. I've learned to dream.
She lifted a hand and stroked his smooth cheek. He flinched, closing his eyes.
And you'll save the people.
Maybe.
But I've heard you found the hole in the ice.
It won't be enough.
What?
She crossed her arms, trying to still the turmoil inside. Hurt, confusion, love, pain, hope. It all mixed. From the contorted expression on Light's face, he wasn't doing much better.
I can't let myself... My personal wants get in the way of dreaming the people to safety far in the south.
A gleam lit his dark eyes as he stared at her.
There's beautiful land there.
What are you saying?
The only way to dream, to really dream, is to lose yourself in the one... To go beyond the motions of the dance.
You're babbling nonsense. What does this have to do with our love for each other?
Nonsense. That's what I told Heron once. I didn't understand. How can I expect you to?
Tell me, do we have a future together? Or has some other woman taken your heart?
No one has taken my heart but you.
Then...
I've had to choose. I've seen the end of the people. Without a dreamer, we have no chance. Ravenhunter has swayed the people one way. I must sway them another.
A pounding desire built to hug him, hold him, soothe his unrest.
I'll help you.
No.
But dreaming isn't like some curse. Use your gifts to save the people, but...
It is a curse. It's like being born with a clubfoot or with a long nose. It's just the way things are. Because of that, I can't love.
Why not? Didn't Heron ever love? I know the old stories about Bear Hunter.
She...
He turned away, squeezing his eyes tightly closed. Frozen, she simply sat... paralyzed by the rending within.
The man she loved killed her. Ask Broken Branch. She saw.
Heron let herself love him for just a moment, but it made her lose the one, and the mushrooms killed her.
Dancing Fox sat back, stunned by the haunted seriousness on his face.
You believe that my love will destroy you?
Yes.
He shook his head, as though trying to clear some deadly mental fog.
I've seen it happen to a woman with far greater power than mine. I've chosen my... No. I've been chosen, by the way. People must have a dreamer.
So, it's over? All this way, all this suffering, and you don't want me?
His face twisted, a dull ache in his eyes.
I'm sorry.
Dancing Fox nodded, standing, looking down, while her soul screamed.
Dreamer?
Wolf Dreamer looked up.
Touch me. One last time.
She reached for him. He extended a hand, sympathy in his eyes. Only as their fingertips touched, something flickered across his face, as if a memory came, unbidden from the recesses of his mind. He stiffened, staring at her in horror, face stricken, body going rigid.
What? What's wrong?
He turned away and buried his head in the white bear's hide.
Leave me.
Turning, she ripped through the hanging hide, running, heedless of her tender ankle. She almost bowled one who cries over, sprinting up the path, struggling to escape that last terrible memory of the horror reflected in his eyes. Moonwater stretched her taut back muscles, wincing at the pain. From behind the veil of her hair, she watched her captors as they congregated around the young dreamer. He was powerful for such a young man. The sight of the caribou coming to his calling had awed her. Despite the number of carcasses stretched out on the snow and the work they entailed, the memory still brought a chill to her spine.
He may be as powerful as ice fire, as powerful as our greatest shaman.
The thought brought a bitter sneer to her lips.
Unthinkable. Unthinkable that these pitiful remnants of a people could have so powerful a dreamer.
Seeing Jumping Hare looking in her direction, she quickly bent to the task of stripping the hide from a caribou.
This is despicable. I, Moonwater, eldest daughter of the White Tusk Clan Singer, must process a kill like an old hag.
Rage and anger burned. The heat of it fueled her muscles, giving her strength to continue. Her fingers cramped around the flat biface she used to cut the hide and dismember the carcass, the warm odor of caribou streaming up around her head.
Ugh. Ugh.
She stropped the tool on her long boot, cleaning the edge of resistant tissue before attacking the carcass again.
And this dreamer will take them under the big ice? Insanity! No human can walk under ice.
But he had dreamed in the caribou. She'd seen that. She'd seen him cure the infant born to that woman green water. She'd seen him suck the fluid from its nose and breathe life into the tiny blue fetus who'd been born so early. Powerful, yes. Powerful indeed.
But not so powerful as ice fire. And I will get away. These enemy people can't keep me.
From behind her swinging wealth of black hair, she glared hatred at Jumping Hare, where he carried thick quarters from the butchering area.
And you'll soon have to forego your pleasure on my body, botfly maggot. Stick to your skinny woman of the people. The daughter of the White Tusk Clan is too good for you.
Soberly, she reached down, pushing hard on her belly as if to drive his seed out of her. Anxiously, she waited this turning of the moon, knowing her bleeding was overdue. Soon. Soon she would make her break, now that the long dark had begun to ebb. She continued to chew her lip, her perfect brow furrowed in thought. The stories were that Wolf Dreamer had found huge herds of animals on the other side. If a woman of the Mammoth people were to find this magic hole, then maybe Ice Fire, with his greater power, could take all the Mammoth clans through.
I will wait, Then we'll see how safe your hole in the ice is.
One Who Cries shook his head, bending to stare into the inky blackness.
I'm still not sure about this.
A frigid breeze blew out of the slit in the grimy, cobble-encrusted ice that spread in dirty heaps to either side. An awesome world sundered. Before them, the big ice lay in mounds and ribbed masses like piled scales. Faint echoes of the tormented ghosts made the people look nervously at each other. A trail of rock, the washout from the runoff channel, led into the ice, an undercut pathway winding between walls of forbidding cold. Singing Wolf, awed, looked at the ice rising high against the gray day.
So immense.
One Who Cries nodded nervously.
Gray. The world has turned gray for all of us. Color is gone. Only desperation remains. Ice and rock ahead of us, around us. Behind comes painful death at the hands of the others. Is this the way? Truly? Isn't there life and joy and happiness anymore? I don't want to go in there. Not into the darkness with the ghosts.
Wolf Dreamer stood to one side, a brooding look on his face. He wore the tailored hide he'd skinned from Grandfather White Bear. The hem swung slowly in the breath, issuing from the yawning crack before them, the long white hairs rippling. One Who Cries looked back, seeing the stiff set of Dancing Fox's face. Studiously, she and Wolf Dreamer avoided each other. More than the chill wind shivered in One Who Cries' thoughts. Wolf Dreamer pointed to a pile of rocks.
See how the boulders have been rolled out? That's from the summer melt. This whole thing fills with water, a regular river.
Singing Wolf glanced at Wolf Dreamer, a confused frown on his face.
Why is the ice only here? Why not all the way to the end of the world?
Mountains. They come together here from the east and west, restricting the river. The ice forms higher and runs down here to block this one place.
Wolf Dreamer pointed as he explained. Listening, the people stood, packs bundled high on their backs, rope made from braided lengths of caribou and mammoth hide, laboriously split, clutched in their hands. The dogs nosed about, sniffing with lowered heads at the dank exhalation. Green water moved closer to One Who Cries, hands on hips, her child peeking out from under her hood, like two heads perched on one body. The infant's dark eyes blinked in awe. One Who Cries caught his wife's gaze, smiling an encouragement he didn't feel. Wolf Dreamer walked to the lead, beckoning for the people to follow, placing each step carefully on the piled rock, keeping slightly to one side where the current had lessened, the sorted deposits providing more level footing there. One Who Cries frowned.
This worries me.
Singing Wolf shot a quick look at him and smiled weakly.
Spirits are always getting mixed up in your life now, huh?
One Who Cries gave Singing Wolf his best scowl.
Oh, I had to listen to you. Come on, you said. We'll go first, prove to everyone that it can be done. And I listen. I listen to you. I'm out of my head. How do you talk me into these crazy things?
You were the one who agreed. You were the one talking about what the others were going to do, about what would happen if the people stayed north of the big ice.
But that doesn't mean I ought to listen to your stone-brained...
Hush!
Green Water shifted her feet anxiously, eyes on the hole.
Wolf Dreamer will lead us.
We haven't died yet.
Singing Wolf followed in Wolf Dreamer's tracks, teeth gritted. Laughing Sunshine followed close behind, a knot of tension in her back.
Haven't died yet. Haven't died yet.
One Who Cries followed, glancing up at the cloud-shredded sky visible through the narrow crack above.
Oh, great blessed star people!
One Who Cries moved onward, hair crawling, like being on a ridge just before Sunfather threw a lightning strike down. A curious wobble had unhinged his legs. Fingers reached for him. He started, blinking in the gloom, seeing nothing. Fingers, soft, brushing, stroking death across his warm flesh. He could feel them. Ghost fingers. They flicked around him, leaving his skin to shrink against itself. He stopped, on the verge of bolting back the way he'd come. He looked back and saw green water treading carefully, and more followed, scared numb by this insanity they were attempting. From some deep depths, the courage came. Unwilling to let so many see his cowardice, he faced forward and walked on, terror possessing his body. The breeze carried strange scents to his sensitive nose, musty, cold, smelling sharp and tangy of rock and earth and darkness. One Who Cries clamped his teeth tight and fingered his darts as the slit of light overhead narrowed. Walls of grayness angled up from the sides, pockets scoured by abrasive water. Some warning in his mind sent him scuttling to the side. The cool brush of the fingers traced invisibly across his cheek. In the lee of a turn in the channel, Wolfdreamer uncovered an ember he'd carried in a shaped slate bowl, nudging it to touch a moss wick. A tiny light came to life. One Who Cries shivered as they proceeded, the crack overhead vanishing at a bend in the rocky route. He took his turn, following Singing Wolf, green water grabbing the line behind him. With all his courage quivering, he followed into the black. Wolfdreamer held the light a bit higher.
Got to keep to the side here. The water undercuts, eats its way back and forth under the ice. There are a couple of places where the roof is a little low, but enough water has run through to carve this out. There's lots of holes, too, where the water swirls, so watch your step.
Oh, ghosts.
Don't fear One Who Cries. I challenged them before. They're all around. Last time I had no light. Last time they let me pass in the darkness. Just be worthy. Show them honor and pride and courage, and they will let you pass unharmed.
No wonder they growled at Crowcaller's grandfather.
The line tugged in One Who Cries hand. Mouth dry, heart hammering, he started forward again. Crackles of dread coursed along every nerve.
Keep talking. Where there are holes and places a person could stumble, tell the one behind you.
Just show them honor and courage.
One Who Cries blinked in the darkness, shivering again at the faint noises in the ice around him. The grasping fingers of the dead dangled, waiting. His skin seemed alive with the feet of tiny things of the black.
I have no courage, or pride, or honor. I just want light.
Step by step, they moved, Wolfdreamer's calm power hanging about them like a protective shroud in the blackness. One Who Cries kept his left hand knotted around the darts at his side, while his right gripped the mammoth hide line. As he felt with his feet, his eyes slowly adjusted to the darkness, faint images coming from the lamp in Wolfdreamer's hands. Shadows flickered along the grimy walls, tall and long.
Oh, Wolfdream! Wolfdream!
Forever stretched. One Who Cries walked, fear like an animal in his breast, scurrying, eating at his heart. As an added protection, he refused to breathe through his mouth, lest something fly inside, some ghost reach in and hook his soul to rip it away into the forever black. The gouged ice hung lower. Mouth dry, he forced himself onward. They stopped every so often, shuffling forward to huddle around the sputtering, grease-fed lamp Wolfdreamer carried. Each time, the rest and food rejuvenated, a camaraderie of the dark binding them together, giving flagging spirits relief from the cold and the black and the horrifying sounds of the dead. By the time they'd made the fifth stop, a resignation had set in. One Who Cries looked up to where the tiny flickers of Wolfdreamer's light played on the shining surface overhead. To his relief, no hollow eyes stared back. The memory of sunlight became a dream. In rough places, One Who Cries pitched in to build a trail over the piles of rock, making it easy for the elderly and children who still stared wide-eyed at the darkness.
Everyone, it is time to rest. Sit. Eat. We will be safe.
The weary people put down their packs, digging out trail food, huddling close to one another. One Who Cries caught himself staring at the young man who had once been Runzin Light. The shimmering hide of Grandfather White Bear gleamed in the faint flicker of the tiny lamp as Wolf Dreamer refueled with a frozen lump of fat. In the feeble glow, One Who Cries caught a glimpse of Dancing Fox's face. Her chiseled features were as cool as the ice around them and as unforgiving. At that moment, her dark brown eyes lay on Wolf Dreamer, her soul bared in longing and pain. One Who Cries swallowed and pulled Green Water close, hugging her, thankful for her love. Only then did he realize that Dancing Fox walked last in line. The most vulnerable, the farthest from the light. Who would know if she were sucked away by some monster? Who was this Dancing Fox? Once Crow Caller had hurt her, kept her from the man she loved. But now Wolf Dreamer stood only a short distance in front of her, and he'd built a wall around himself she'd never be able to climb. Her haunted eyes said she knew it. One Who Cries shivered. After eating, the people laid out their robes and held each other in the icy, ghost-ridden darkness. They slept, finally. The next period of wakefulness, One Who Cries couldn't call it day, they had roused and continued the march through the icy darkness. Ahead of them, Wolf Dreamer moved, serene in his power, the light from his lamp a star in the bitter void. One Who Cries couldn't really say how long they walked. He was numb to anything save putting one foot ahead of the other and making sure no one fell. Only gradually did he become aware that something had changed up ahead. The light grew slowly until they stared about owlishly, uneasy at first. Singing Wolf surged forward and clapped a hand on One Who Cries' shoulder.
Light! Cousin, it's light! The blessed star people!
Wolf Dreamer looked back and smiled at them.
It is dawn. Look, you can make out the edges of the crack above us. We're through.
The people walked out of the darkness, the fresh air wafting over their faces. Relief washed so powerfully through One Who Cries, it left him trembling. Blinking tears, he sagged to his knees, drawing Green Water close, hugging her tight.
Oh, we're through.
Of course, husband. I told you the wolf dream is true.
Morning grew in the slit of sky, the clouds graying. Wolf Dreamer carefully snuffed the tiny flame that had meant so much to them. Suddenly, Laughing Sunshine paled and wrapped her arms around her belly.
Oh!
What is it, wife?
My time. The child is coming.
Wolf Dream! Her baby comes, born to a new world like all the people. Hi! Wolf Dream! New life, born anew!
One Who Cries smiled, feeling Green Water's arm go around him. He studied the beaming faces of his people, seeing Dancing Fox in the light of the new day. His smile froze on his face as she met his eyes, a haunted emptiness there. Singing Wolf shook his head, staring across the snow flats at the herds of animals. A small group of long-horned buffalo stood no more than a dart's throw away, watching curiously, ears flapping, tails switching, a curious gleam in their black eyes.
I can't believe this.
To the south, the divide they camped on stretched away into a white maze of ridges and dendritic drainage channels. Around them, black spruce stood, their ratty branches shifting with the wind that scoured the ridgetop. Behind, the big river made a bend to the west, a narrow defile leading into the rugged, ice-capped mountains beyond. To the east, several days' walk, the big ice stretched, the horizon foggy and obscure. Beyond them, the caribou that had stopped to study them earlier grazed slowly as they moved away, nubbins of antlers beginning to form. One Who Cries smiled at his cousin.
And there's fresh mammoth sign!
Wolf Dream, No others here. I'm gonna hate to go back.
Whoa, wait a minute. I thought you said go back?
Wolf Dreamer is going for another group. I think Buffalo Back will bring his people through this time.
Go back? Like where we just came from?
Yes. Though I'm leaving Laughing Sunshine and my child here. The others will be pushing closer to the people on the other side of the big ice, corralling them like deer for the slaughter.
And you want to go back? You're crazy! Touched by the monster children's light, why should we...
Someone has to tell of it besides Wolf Dreamer. Too many would refuse to believe him after...
That's true.
I need both of you.
One Who Cries whirled, surprised at so silent an approach. Wolf Dreamer stood there, a faraway look in his eyes. The white bearskin covered him from head to toe, a stark reminder of his power. Now the hair seemed to gleam with a life of its own, trapping the light of the distant sun, ruffling in the chill wind.
Both?
Raven Hunter, I can sense that there'll be danger. The renewal.
I'll have to dream. I don't know what Raven Hunter might do, but I feel trouble. Blood.
I'm going.
I knew you would, Singing Wolf. Jumping Hare will stay and hunt. Green Water will help him, as will some of the others. They can keep the bears off. Keep our people safe.
Wolf Dreamer's serene gaze lit on One Who Cries, who seemed to fold in upon himself. One Who Cries looked out over the plain before them and stifled a sigh. In the distance, he could see a family group of mammoth, their huge bodies mere dots as they used their long tusks to sweep the snow free of the sedges, grasses, and bushes.
When will you leave?
The sooner the better. The long light is growing. We can't know when the water will begin running again.
You mean?
I mean it could begin tomorrow and forever close that hole.
In the silence, the three men met each other's eyes in turn. Singing Wolf eyed his cousin askance.
Green Water will want you to go.
Of course she will. Why couldn't I have married one of the whimpery ones, who'd demand I stay and tend to her? Instead, I had to marry Rocksteady Greenwater, who will nod her acceptance, hug me tight, and shove me down the mouth of the monster.
But in his mind, he imagined the knowing, loving look she'd give him as he bravely set off back through the horrible hole in the ice, and his heart warmed. With an almost physical pang, he turned away from the vision of the vast, game-filled meadows.
Well, let's hurry then.
Moonwater waited, seeing no movement. Her eyes darted to the powerful dreamer, fearful he might have had visions of her plans. But he slept so still, he seemed dead. Heart in her throat, she carefully placed each foot. She bent over him, easing the hide covers aside to lift the ground stone lamp. Not even daring to breathe, she plucked up the straps for the pack that carried the all-important fat and lifted it away. Step by step, she backed away. Like smoke, she drifted across the camp and into the darkness. Taking care to hide her tracks, she lifted a flat stone from an abandoned burrow she'd found earlier and hid the items, carefully resettling the stone in place. Pulsing with triumph, she returned to her robes on the other side of Jumping Hare's woman. Soon, Wolf Dreamer would return to his people on the other side of the big ice. Then she would be free to go herself, to return to her own people. Oh, they'd search for the lamp. They would search all the bundles, all the possessions. But Moonwater planned well, as befitted the great singer's daughter. When she went, no one would know the secret of the passage to this wondrous land went with her. No one would know she carried salvation to the Mammoth people. Dancing Fox applied pressure to the stone scraper, tearing the last bits of tissue from the fine golden caribou hide. Wan sunlight warmed her beautiful face, glinting blue from her fluttering hair.
Moonwater's gone!
Dancing Fox looked up to see Curlew Song.
She's been waiting for her chance for weeks. I thought everyone knew that from the way she skulked around at night.
You've seen her up when we were asleep?
Many times.
Why didn't you say something? Maybe we could have...
Tied her to the nearest tree? That would have just made her worse. She's not meant to be one of the people.
Curlew Song gave her a harsh look, crossing her arms.
New women make the people stronger. They bring new blood.
Only if they learn to accept their fate. Some never do, like Moonwater.
Well, maybe if she'd stayed longer.
When did she leave? I didn't see her go. And I was up half the night, just like every night, weighing my future, trying to decide my path.
Jumping Hare stayed out last night to watch his rabbit traps. Thought he'd try and get the wolf that's been raiding them. She was there when I went to sleep last night. When I got up, her robes were gone. She'd taken her pack, too. I just made a circle of the camp. Thought maybe she'd gone out to pout somewhere.
Dancing Fox stood, wringing the cramps out of her fingers. Then she picked the tissues and clinging fat off of her scraper.
Well, I guess we know where the lamp went, don't we?
You don't think she'd...
Of course. She's headed home. She'll need it.
To cross through the hole? Alone? No, she's not that brave.
Oh, yes, she is. I've been in her boots. I know what it's like to be a virtual slave. You know she hated us. Thought we were beneath her dignity. You can imagine what it's like to have some other crawling on you, parting your legs.
Jumping Hare isn't some other. He's my husband and hers.
Yes, but you love him. Makes a difference to be split by the man you love.
She could have, if she'd only given him a chance.
Fox stiffened suddenly, realizing the horrifying implications.
Doesn't matter now. What does matter is that we're in trouble.
What do you mean?
She'll bring the others through the ice.
Blessed star people! If they find the hole, we'll never be safe. They'll follow us across the face of the world.
Exactly.
Fox opened her pack, dropping the scraper, several biface blanks, and a pouch of jerky inside. Her fingers flew as she tied black spruce wood to the hide. Curlew Song frowned, watching the packing process.
What are you doing?
Going after her.
But you can't go through the hole, alone, without a light.
Wolf Dreamer did. Now Moonwater is doing it. Besides, I've got black spruce wood. I'll carry enough for a fire if I need it. Other than that, I practically went through it in the dark last time. I was at the end of the line.
Fox, don't do this. You might lose your soul under there. Without Wolf Dreamer to protect you...
Crowcaller cursed me to be buried. Maybe the time is right.
She looked longingly to the big ice. It shimmered beneath the gentle touch of Father Sun.
And Ren's Wolf Dreamer is on the other side. Maybe if I can just talk to him.
Crowcaller was an idiot. Don't chance it.
Dancing Fox slung her pack over her back, adjusting the tump line across her forehead. Playfully, she batted Curlew on the shoulder.
Keep the fires going here.
Then she was off, working slowly to a ground-eating pace, feeling the stitch in her ankle.
Going to tell the Mammoth people about our hole, eh, Moonwater?
We'll see.
Wolf Dreamer would be facing Raven Hunter and Crowcaller. Against them, for all intents and purposes, he'd be alone. She'd been chafing about that ever since he'd left to make the return trip. As she approached the worn channel the next morning, Dancing Fox could see a trickle of water running out of the snowbanks. The way in seemed to suck at her.
So, it's begun to flow again. How long do we have before the hole is gone?
Gritting her teeth, she entered the channel, seeing a woman's footprints in the soft sand. No doubt of it, Moonwater had gone this way. Heart thumping, Dancing Fox entered the shadowed chasm. Raven Hunter sat and squinted into the morning sun, ignoring the men who sat uneasily in a circle around him, waiting for his counsel. Their eyes on him made him consider. The changing of the seasons, opposites crossed. The long light grew out of the south as Father Sun's rays pushed the spirits of the long dark into the far north, beyond the northern saltwater and its floating mountains of ice. With the melt came rumors. Carried over the trails by fur-wrapped hunters, the stories passed from lip to lip. Stories of a dreamer, a powerful dreamer. The youth Runzenlight, once scorned, had dreamed away to the south. Not only that, but he'd walked beneath the world, walked under the big ice, and the people were reborn. Reborn in a land where no others walked. A land where the animals were truly brothers, unafraid. This wolf dreamer, they said he was born of father's son, sent to lead the people to a new home. Ravenhunter's hand clenched his dart shafts. He contemplated the raids they'd made during the long dark. The others remained held at bay. Now the renewal would be upon them. The spring hunt had begun. Piecemeal, they waited on the game trails to see what would move south with the melt, migrating into the long light feeding grounds. Only this year, so many others sat on the migratory trails, they might get no food at all.
What if the others don't relent? If they do not take time for the spring hunt, we will not be able to either. What sort of renewal can the people provide if their bellies are gaunt with hunger?
Ravenhunter shoved himself gruffly to his feet and began to pace. He pulled his new parka tight and smiled. A prize taken from the others, the parka served as a symbol of his war prowess. Now, looking around, he realized how much they'd come to be like the enemy. Stealing their clothing, eating food they'd hunted, bedding their women. Curious, he ran his fingers down the finely stitched sleeve of the parka. And of all things, this year the elders had decided to break tradition and hold the renewal far to the south, in Heron's Valley.
Heron's Valley, the very home of my adult brother. And how can I and my young men retain our lands if we have to go so far south to dance? The others will come into our lands behind us like a flood. Do the old fools think the others care for our renewal? How long to get there? Weeks? And the others are supposed to obligingly wait in their camps?
Eagle Cries shrugged at his leader.
But we must dance. Remember what happened two long darks ago when we didn't? The soul leaders of the long dark punished us. Besides, don't forget the others have their own clan gatherings. They too must dance, trade, take care of
their own. Then we should strike. They'll be vulnerable at their dances just as we are at ours. It's the right time to sting them, push them back before they...
But the renewal is...
I've heard enough. Who will stay? Who will fight for our lands?
Around the circle, a few hands shot up. Some wavered hesitantly. The majority remained down. A coldness worked along his spine.
Careful. I can push them only so far. While they'll follow me, they won't forget their precious renewal. Is there an advantage in this? Some way I can discredit the elders through their short-sightedness at holding renewal so far to the south? I know. I know. Without our dancing, the souls of the animals may desert us. Quite a situation we're in, huh? If we don't pray and dance the renewal, the animals won't let us kill them. On the other hand, if we leave our territory and go south, we'll hand those very hunting grounds over to the others.
Ravenhunter paused, searching their tight faces, seeing the blazing eyes, the grim mouths.
Yes, these are warriors, my people. So be it. We'll go south. And remember this next fall. Remember who held renewal so far from our lands. Some of you will die retaking what we will give up tomorrow. I hope these old men sing your souls well, my brothers, for they'll bear the responsibility. And besides, this way I can find out the truth of the nonsense that's circulating about my idiot brother.
With the courage and stamina of her people, Moonwater trotted out into the plains, the horrors of the hole below the ice lending speed to her tired feet. She would never forget that passage. The first time had been bad enough, buried there under the ice, only the faint bit of light ahead to guide her. The way back, alone with only the tremors of the ghosts as they groaned and wailed in the endless black, had been horror. When she stopped to sleep, it had been with fear, the whisperings in the dark growing louder around her as she cuddled the tiny fire to her bosom and prayed that the wretched ghosts would leave her be. Now she ran, betting her speed and skill against the growing long light that she could reach the mammoth people before the season of flies and mushy muskeg began. Maybe the White Tusk Clan would be holding the White Mammoth Hide this year. Their war with the people certainly would have earned them honors among the clans. If they held the precious hide, clan leaders from the north and west would be flocking to Icefire's camp. If they were there, they'd hear what she told the most respected elder about the hole and the dreamer and the way to the south with its wonderful valleys filled to bursting with game. All she needed to do was find a village of the mammoth people. From then on, she would be safe and greatly revered. Dancing Fox felt her way through the pitch blackness. Water splashed around her feet, making the footing more precarious. Carefully, she placed her foot on a slanted rock and leaned forward.
Oh! Cursed ankle! Ow.
The joint raged, but the bone hadn't broken this time. The holes had filled with waist-deep water now. Her soaked feet had gone so cold they'd become totally numb. The only dry places to sit were on the larger boulders that she blundered into in the eternal dark. Of course, her kindling and fire sticks were soaked. She had no way to dry them. She heaved herself to her feet and forced herself onward.
What are you, bitch? I'm coming for you.
The light came faintly at first. Icy water leaving her legs awkward and fumble-footed, she splashed on, jaw muscles clenched. Still, the light grew. Sky appeared in the jagged cracks overhead. She limped way around the end of the opening to blink out at a gray, overcast day.
I'd have never thought it was true.
She whirled, fumbling for her darts with cold, stiffened fingers. Three Falls shook his head at her, where he sat about 20 feet from the growing river's edge. He was dressed in a frayed parka, and his middle-aged face shone like burnished copper from long days in the sun.
Dancing Fox? What are you doing coming back? I thought only...
Chasing an enemy.
She shivered, cold eating into her flesh as the wind sucked the last of her body heat away. He frowned and stood, coming towards her.
An enemy?
Yeah, but first, I've got to warm up.
That's a proposition?
Three Falls raised an eyebrow, smiling as he saw her expression.
I've got some dry stuff. Not much, just a little dry dung and a bundle of willow sticks. Strip out of those wet things.
Dancing Fox shucked off her pack, shivering hard, as he led her to a sheltered place in the boulders. Three Falls dropped his pack and pulled out fire tools as she peeled her sopping hides from her body. She wrung out the leather while he bent, spinning his fire sticks with practiced hands. Three Falls bent down, coaxing the flame to life. He backed away, motioning her forward. She twisted her hair into a braid, crouching gratefully over the smoking dung. Three Falls let his eyes trace the curves of her naked body.
The other way would have been more fun.
I've seen you naked before. No thanks, I'm not up to you. I like my innards arranged as they are. Besides, I thought you were one of Raven Hunter's admirers. He'd object, I'm sure, to your association with me.
No. His ways and mine are different.
Are they?
I'll kill others. I'll fight for our land. But he's done things I think are crazy. He's taught the young men to torture the others, cut them apart, and eat the captives' hearts. There's something wrong with that. He's, I don't know, kind of crazy. You can't tell what he'll do between one minute and the next.
I know. Bless you for this fire. How long have you been keeping watch here?
I'm not keeping watch. Exactly.
Then what?
I heard talk of Heron's Valley and came here to look myself. I left Raven Hunter's camp in the middle of the long dark. I've kind of drifted here and there, hunting, trying to figure out what to do in my head.
You deserted him?
I believe the tales of Runs and Light's hole in the ice. I came to join him.
A soft flutter of pride filled her chest. The people's faith had grown, if Three Falls was any example.
Did you see a woman come through before me?
Moonwater? Jumping Hare's other woman? Maybe 2-3 days ago?
No, I've only been here since yesterday.
Well, maybe we can catch her.
Let her go. I've seen enough dead women.
She knows about the hole in the ice. She's seen the other side.
What's it like?
Go see for yourself.
She pointed to the hole. He shifted uncomfortably.
Is it just more rock? More scrubby wormwood and sedge? More of these sloppy, rocky lakes? Flies and mosquitoes? Starvation around every esker and moraine? Fog blowing snow?
Trees taller than you can imagine. Game that's tame. A divide that looks like it leads down into another big river. This one leading south. Maybe to another saltwater where we can fish without others attacking us. And there's no sign of men.
I'm going.
No, you're not.
But you just told me that...
I've changed my mind. You've got to help me catch Moonwater first. Or you'll end up sharing everything I told you with the others.
I won't kill her.
I think her husband, Jumping Hare, will thank you for that.
I mean it. Agreed?
Agreed. I just want to stop her before she reveals the path to the other side.
Let's go.
Can I dry my clothing first? This is the first time I've been warm in days.
Of course. I like looking at your body. Makes me think of things.
Then look the other way. My body doesn't think of yours.
Unfortunate.
Too bad you're a man with a caring soul. If you were a maggot like Raven Hunter, you...
I wish you hadn't put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a long hunt for Moonwater. Maybe you'll change your mind.
Don't count on it.